Jazz, thank you for joining us. Chris, Allison, Gary, here we are. BinaryJazz.us if you need more info. All right, let's get going.
That was the most succinct yet.
Get them down. We're getting them down.
I feel like this topic today needs a lot of space to breathe. What's today's topic?
You're saying that like I'm not ready, and I'm ready.
No, I didn't mean that at all.
Today's topic is APGAR scores.
APGAR scores. Oh.
It's two APGAR, words. Scores yeah. is the second part.
Right.
Yeah, APGAR is the thing they do when babies are born to check and see like how healthy they are, correct?
Damn it.
The only reason I know that is, and this will
well,
be
because you have children. That right. was, I was
wonky
kind
show.
Of...
Yes, it's true.
I wouldn't know it had we not done the, what do they call it? Like it's birthing class, basically.
Yeah.
So before Tyler was born a decade ago. Wow. We went to that and it was like a thing. Like, you know, you booked it and Rhonda was like, oh, it's like 4 evenings, like 2 hours a night. Like, we can do that. That's fine. And maybe it was more than four. I don't know. It's been a long time. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm always up to learn something new, and this is definitely uncharted territory for us.
It was hardcore, those classes.
It was, yeah. I respected nurses before then, but having gone through that class, like, you know, the eventualities that the nurse shared were like, oh, that's a thing I didn't know.
I didn't know I needed to stress out about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Incidentally, everyone was healthy and whatnot, so... that's cool. But wow. Yeah. That was a thing. They talked about how they would do the APGAR score, and it really meant nothing after the first 24 hours of life anyway, so don't worry about it too much if it seemed like low or whatever. It is named for, I believe her name is Virginia APGAR. I'll check this poll out. I might be wrong.
No, you're absolutely right.
Who... was a doctor, I believe, in the shit, what years?
At this point, I'm going to be like, ha, it was 1948 or something.
I don't remember what years. I just know that at the time, like, it was ridiculous that a woman would be a doctor. And that was part of the, part of what she brought to medicine. In addition to the APGAR score was like, yeah, it turns out you don't actually need a penis to be a doctor.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they took out textbooks. Be a doctor, you need penis.
Also, so she was an I can't say that. Some sort of a baby anesthesiologist. And but also one part of the story that I like about this is that they made the APGAR score what they call a backronym. So they like made it into an acronym after the fact to fit the name. Which I
What is it? What is should we guess what the acronym is?
Well, they're like, it's for all the criteria. So they basically broke her name down into the, do you know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah.
I had never heard the term backronym before. And I was just like, well, this is amazing.
Isn't PHP a backronym?
Is it? See, I don't know. See, all the things that
I
come in assuming that I'm like, no, we came in knowing what it stood for.
I thought it was. I might be wrong.
It's been a redefined acronym. I think that originally PHP was for personal homepage, and then it became something hypertext processor. What's the first P for?
For APGAR score.
I bet it's for PHP. PHP hypertext processor.
Is it a recursive acronym?
I think it is. I think it recursive is actually. Acronym. Yeah.
Well, GNU is not Unix. It's like the dumbest
because I saw
acronym in the world.
I saw a thing on Twitter recently where somebody was trying to explain recursion to a non-programmer, and somebody was like, just tell them about the PHP, what PHP stands for. So I think PHP is recursive.
Oh, well, that would make sense then.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I shipped code before we figure out what aptr stands for. I shipped code recently that had recursion, and I missed one way that we would need to break recursion, mm-hmm. which like, recursion is a really fun way to kill a server silently.
Yeah.
It doesn't throw like an infinite nesting warning or anything. It just stops working and consumes a lot of CPU.
Recursion is the reason why we sent an email to 150 people 9 times in over the
summer. That doesn't sound bad though. If you caught it after 9, that's pretty.
Well, great. Yeah, because it was designed to break after it hit the actual number of recipients, and the thing is that the number of recipients was never incrementing, so it just hit the same 150 every time. So it's a good thing that it only went out 9 times and it didn't
yes.
like a million times, and then we like realized it was happening like later and had to kill it manually. But yeah, it was like a while loop that had like that just like while true instead of actually having a condition, it's just like yeah, while true.
I had one recently where we built this site for a client and in WordPress, when you remove users, right? Since an admin, I noticed all admins that this user has been removed. So they ran a script to do some automated cleaning and removed like 300,000 users, which queued up 300,000 emails to every administrator on the site, right? Which is fine. I mean, like, fine. Okay, I just put a filter in place, like dump it to my spam or whatever. Like, mark it as read, delete it. Like, I see what's happening. It's okay, whatever. However, I guess it wasn't. I guess it was a bit more disruptive for like non-nerds who are like, how do I delete three? I think I'm exaggerating by like 100. I think it was like 3,000, not 300,000. Even so, it was like way more email than you would want about stuff you don't care about anyway. So anyway, I assume a ticket was created to filter that so that not everyone is notified in the future. I don't know. I just went, all right, so drum roll. What does apgar? What's the apgar background?
Well, I wanted to think about, okay, we could do that, what the apgar backronym is, but I wanted to see if we could figure out other backronyms, because I know some, but now I can't remember any of them.
I mean, the concept wasn't new to me, but I've never heard the term backronym, so I was like, well, that's my favorite portmanteau of the week. Like,
is our backronyms better when it's a person's name? I think if the answer is yes.
I think it makes it more challenging. But I don't know. I'm not familiar with really, I'm not consciously aware of other backronyms, I guess.
All right. Now I'm going to have to.
If only we had some sort of device that we could look up these things.
Yeah. All right. What does apgar stand for?
Apgar stands for appearance, pulse, grimace, activity, and respiration.
Grimace is like when they poke them in the heel with a pin or something, and
it's like how they respond.
Dang, quit that crap. I'm new here.
Yeah, I just got here. Stop poking me.
Oh, how creepy would it be if babies were born able to speak?
Just they're like
hear their
look.
Voice. Come on, quit your shit.
They all sound like Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
A lot of acts are backronyms.
Acts?
Like, what?
Acts, as in like legal, like acts.
Oh.
like the USA Patriot Act is a backronym for uniting and strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism.
Fuck that.
Oh. That's less.
No, I was looking for more fun backronyms.
Yeah, that's a fail.
But I know that I've seen that in other acts that were like being put before Congress or whatever. That like it's very obviously a backronym because it's like something that like fits very neatly into whatever the name of the thing is. It's like no, you did not just magically come up with that. You had the thing and then you like ported it back.
Did either of you take into consideration initials when you had kids?
No.
Yeah, so Katie Kovar, there's two K's, like that obviously negated a middle name with a K in it. I don't think we were considering one, but I mean, it was like a, yeah, we need to make sure that, you know, it's not something offensive, but otherwise, no, not really. Mm-hmm. At some point, there was an attempt to make Tyler's nickname TJ for his initials, and it didn't stick because, I don't know.
I feel like that happened with my brother as well with TJ, and it didn't stick. That's interesting.
Not a catchy one. I don't know a lot of TJs, you know? So,
still
it is...
Still waiting for that fun acronym.
Yeah.
It'll occur to you at like 2 in the morning.
It will, yeah. I'm not finding
you can,
anything.
And here. You cannot wake us up, but you can post it in Slack.
Do you all... So, do you turn your phones off at night? Or maybe not turn them off, but... I mean, I like my phone's always on silent. But it occurs to me that if there were ever an emergency in the middle of the night... Well, let me back up. At one point, there was an emergency in the middle of the night in my family. And so I missed a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. But, like, what's the reasonable expectation for me leaving my phone on at night so that I can take that call at 3 o'clock in the morning?
So what I do and what I've set up on Aaron's phone is have it set to automatically go to Do Not Disturb after whatever time. And then you can whitelist, essentially, certain phone numbers in your contacts so that even when your phone is on Do Not Disturb, you get calls through from those numbers.
Mm.
The other thing that you could do, and this is what I do like just normally, is you can block all calls. I'm assuming you have an iPhone, but I'm assuming you could probably do this on Android too. You can block all calls that are from phone numbers that are not in your contacts. But that sort of requires that everybody in your contacts is a phone number that you care about and not just a phone number that you put there so that the caller ID said the thing that you wanted it to say when it called so that you get the call. Because obviously when you start doing that, then you have to put numbers in your contacts so that when they call again, you get the call. But I don't want to get a call from my plumber at 3 o'clock in the morning either.
I would say that. An emergency.
If my plumber is like going through the phone and nobody's answered and they get to me and it's really an emergency, I feel like I'd be okay waking up for that.
Okay.
You know?
Well, that's fair.
He's like, I just have to talk.
So there's two options for you. There's two options for you, Gary. You can either block all calls from anybody who's not in your contacts and only get calls from people in your contacts and just leave it that way. That's what I do normally. Or you can do that. And in addition, when your phone goes into Do Not Disturb, you have to go into the actual contact and you think it's like add to emergency contacts or something so that when that phone number calls you, then you get it.
Oh, you're missing the obvious third option, which is feel guilty for a day or two once every decade that I missed a call at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That seems easier.
Turn off my phone entirely.
So much mental overhead with that one.
Yeah. I turn off my phone entirely, but also now I'm thinking that I shouldn't. But also I just feel like the types of emergencies that I'm far away from family and stuff. So the type of emergencies that would be happening, I would be of like no use in the middle of the night. Like I'm trying to plan a flight or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to know, even if it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, if like one of your parents had a heart attack and is going being rushed to the hospital, like wouldn't you rather know that than like wake up in the morning and be like, oh my god, that happened last night and I was asleep?
Yeah,
so the circumstance I'm thinking of was a death.
But I don't even put my phone next to my bed, so like I don't even know, like it doesn't go into that room. I'm horrible with my phone. I'm just realizing this now.
So the circumstance I'm thinking of was a death in the family. So like if I knew, you know, 3 hours later, it didn't make the person any less dead, right? Like, so it wasn't like emergency is maybe the wrong word to use in that phrase. Like,
right. But I mean, our justification is that it would be better to know than to find out later and be like, oh my God. And I was sleeping through it. And like this happened and like, you know, I wasn't able to talk to whoever called me. And
yeah.
Because nobody expects you to be like conscious at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, like they know they're disrupting you.
I think that's the point too, is like if somebody's calling at 3 a.m, like it's obviously not like a social thing.
Right.
Right. And I think to that point, like I think like my parents, you know, like they're not far from me. So if they were to call in the middle of the night, it would be like, OMG, drive us to the hospital or I don't know, something.
It would be important. They're not being like, oh, what are you up to? Just
hey, watching Conan, or
like
what's on Netflix tonight?
Yeah. Well, speaking of what's on Netflix, I haven't watched it yet, but I just saw there was a David Lynch film of him interviewing a monkey for 15 minutes. So I'm very excited to watch that later.
That's the, okay. So, one of my favorite Instagram accounts, Nick Cave and the Bad Memes. I just realized that the dude that does it does the, like sort of an axe swing anything sort of thing, and somebody sent him that link, and then so it didn't show the link, but it showed his response. And I was like, what is he like? Cause it was obviously a David Lynch thing. It was like, here, look at this David Lynch thing. And he's like, oh my God, what was that? And I was like, what is he watching? So now I know, now I have context. Now I can go back and find it. Okay, good. How does the interview go?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't watched it. Yeah.
No, okay. It's on my list. And I was like, oh, this is going to be probably the best 15 minutes of my day. No offense, everybody. You just can't beat David Lynch interviewing a monkey.
No, I'm taking
it.
Oh,
I mean, I think the monkey just by itself would beat the two of us.
So if you had the opportunity to spend 15 minutes with a monkey or 15 minutes with us, you would take the monkey, is what you're saying, Chris?
I'm saying the monkey is not going to disappoint.
Are we disappointed?
Like point blank. Point blank, the monkey is always going to be a source of entertainment. Have you met a monkey, Gary?
Ouch.
Gary, we have to step it up.
Really?
I'm not saying that you guys disappoint me. I'm just saying monkey is like, you know, on the list.
Can I share
like,
some monkey stories?
Have you met a monkey? Have you encountered
Well,
monkeys?
The first one is, there's actually no monkey in the story, but it's a story about monkeys, so it's good. So Rhonda went camping with the older two kids, Cub Scout camping this weekend. I stayed home with Charlotte. And it was Saturday morning. I went in to get her and I walked in and she's like in her crib dancing and she goes, I'm a monkey. Ooh, ooh, ah, ah. And was like scratching her armpits and stuff. And I'm like, oh, great. We got a monkey. And I was, you know, teasing her and stuff. And then she was like, now daddy a monkey. So she would not get up until I made monkey sounds and danced around, which was fantastic. I loved that she was just like, oh, you're going to tease me? Well, it's on, old man.
Now you're a monkey. How do you like that?
That's yeah, fair.
Dance. Yeah. And then I got a speeding ticket on the way down to see Rhonda and the kids with her. Yeah.
Is that because of also, the monkey hijinks?
No, I was speeding. There was no it was one of those, like, the officer pulled you over. He's like, do you know why I pulled you over? Like, not a clue. You were speeding. Do you know how fast you were going? I hope it wasn't really fast.
Faster than the speed limit.
See, every time they ask me that question, I'm like, yeah, I know exactly how fast I was going. I was looking at the speedometer. Like, I was going 84 miles an hour. And then the officer's like, oh, yeah, that's about right.
This was like, I'm driving and it's like a 3-lane road. And I look in my rearview mirror and there's like a, you know, thing flashing behind me. Motorcycle, that's the thing. Motorcycle flashing behind me. I'm like, oh, I better get out of the way. And I pulled over a lane. And the cop followed me. I'm like, oh, gee. Oh, shit.
That's for me.
So I pulled in the parking lot. And then I will say that the internet has made getting pulled over a much more pleasant experience. Like, you know, prolific network connections. I remember getting pulled over back in the day. It would be like a 30-minute process waiting for them to call in and wait to get a call back. I'm checking the plate and the license and stuff. Now you can just go back to his machine and bang, bang, bang. And he was like, here's your ticket. Please slow it down. All right. Like,
I've gotten out of significantly higher tickets by being like honest to the police officers, like when they say, do you know how fast you're going, or like, are you in a hurry or something, like yeah, I know how fast I was going, this is how fast I was going, sorry, like I, like, you know, or like there's one time when we were coming back from, I believe, the aquarium in Monterey. And there's this particular like hill on the freeway. And like, I noticed that I was going too fast over the hill as I was doing it. And I looked down and I said, oh shit. And then I looked behind me and I said, oh shit. I said, like, yeah, I'm sorry. I, you know, wasn't paying attention, and then I saw, and then yeah, and he's like, and then he looks in the back and sees the kids, like, well, you know, just, you know, I appreciate your honesty, you know, just slow down next time or something, and I didn't get a ticket. And one time I got a significantly lower ticket because I named the speed that I was going, and he's like, I could have given you more, but I'm only going to mark it down as this much, and yeah.
Oh yeah, I was not lying at all when he asked me if I knew how fast I was going. No idea. Do you know what speed limit is here? Also, no. Like, I was deep in thought about yes.
Space?
Yes. I was deep in thought about Skylab.
I think you should have said that. I think, you know, I'm sorry. I really wasn't paying attention to the signs. I was thinking about space.
Do you realize they tried sending like a rubber, like big tube up to space to emulate a shower? Like that's what I was thinking about, officer. Of course it didn't work. The water just globs onto you, and then you feel like a vacuum cleaner. Like, how did no one drown in that experiment?
Like, they cart you away for entirely different reasons.
And they're like, yeah, like, I'm definitely going to give you the higher fine. Slow down. Maybe take the bus, weirdo.
You want to think about space, take public transit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to talk about monkeys.
Oh, okay. I have one more monkey story, but you go ahead.
Because I have met a monkey. It was a monkey in Sri Lanka. And so we were on this safari.
It disappeared. I don't have a face
anymore. Safari in quotations, because it was really just a boat ride, a boat tour through various, like, you know, island, little tiny island things. But every time, like, sorry, wherever you go, there are people along, like, the side of the route that the boats take, in their own, like, little, like, speedboats or rowboats or whatever. And they're like, they've got, like, there's this guy with a baby crocodile, and there's the guy with a baby monkey, and there's, like, the little thing where they, like, a fish hatchery where you stick your feet in the fish hatchery, and the fish will eat off the dead skin off your feet, because that's the thing that the tourists want to do. Like, all sorts of things every step of the way. There's always a thing. And so before we realized that was really what this safari was about, was meeting all the locals with their pet, whatever wild animal that they have domesticated so that they can, like, get money from stupid tourists. The first one that came up to the boat was a monkey, and they're like, oh, monkey. And of course, and so Brad Parbs, your friend and mine, Brad Parbs, was on the boat, and he was in front, and he immediately, like, his eyes light up, and he gets, like, this, like, his whole face just explodes in happiness at this monkey, and the kid is, it's a kid, and he's offering the monkey to somebody, and Brad's like, of course I'm gonna hold a monkey.
Take a,
like,
monkey.
How would I not? and then as the kid is like, so that's gonna be 1,200 rupees, and he's like, wait, what? I have to pay for the monkey? I have to pay to hold this monkey? And he didn't have any money on him, so like we sort of, like, went around the boat, and, like, people were chipping in a little bit as a, you know, and so we ended up paying off this kid, and the kid's, like, waiting there, like, stupid tourists.
Like, this is not making my monkey worth it.
So then all the subsequent stops, and we had the dude come up with the baby crocodile, and like everybody else, like the boat drivers eventually, like, no, except
forget it.
We're broke, dude.
Not it sounds like a weird version of the Jungle Cruise from Disneyland.
It very much was a weird version of the Jungle Cruise. Much less exciting, but very, very similar to the Jungle Cruise. Yes.
Not as punny.
Including actually, like, at some point, so we stopped at this island where they make cinnamon. And as we were leaving the island, and we met the local family there that, like, has been making cinnamon for generations on this one particular island, and it's cool. So as we were leaving, the boat stalled and it wouldn't start. And so we were, like, floating, we were drifting in the water, like, brr, 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 brr. Like, I don't know how, like, for a good 20 minutes or so, just, like, sitting in the water, like, are we gonna make it back? What? Like, what happens when the boat doesn't start?
Yeah, what's our plan B? There's no like triple A that's that's coming out here.
Are we to swim? Or like,
sir, I'm leaving a very terse TripAdvisor review on this boat ride.
Oh, there are already terse TripAdvisor reviews. If we like, I was looking at some of them. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. This is definitely. It was definitely like this is not a safari.
Oh well, the internet's garbage. Okay, we're back to that again.
This is all just people selling stuff.
Meanwhile, let's go back to how Gary has turned into like a nefarious shadow.
I don't understand. Like, I can't. Like, I get.
There we go.
But what's like now? It's
because the light. It's because the background is brighter than the foreground.
I get that, but it wasn't doing this earlier, and I haven't like relocated or moved.
It's funny.
And I was leaning this close earlier, but I had to get in and like it had to find me, and now it's I know who you are.
When you were leaning back before, it was basically like you also needed one of those voice gurgling things, like a witness protection situation of like maybe it's Gary, but maybe it's
Gary. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think you use your name when you're gurgling.
That's probably true.
It's like, oh, he blew it right out of the gate.
My name is Barry Bovar.
I don't want to tell my monkey story now because yours is better.
Why? Because I actually met a real live monkey and your story is just about monkeys.
The city I grew up in had when I was a kid, it was called the Chimp Farm, and they rescued monkeys and chimpanzees and other animals. I mean, really any kind of animal that had been in.
Rescued from where?
Well, I'm getting there. They were rescued from
other humans.
private owners. So like, okay. You know, they had, I'm trying to remember, like they had some weird animals that some celebrities had and they were, like they couldn't keep them. Like you think of like a Mike Tyson owning a tiger situation. Like at some point, like Mike Tyson doesn't own that tiger anymore. It's got to go somewhere. They didn't own Mike Tyson's tiger. That's just the only example I can think of. Cause really like the celebrities, quote unquote, they named were really not celebrities. They were just, or celebrities, I don't recall anymore. Anyway, so the Chimp Farm was like, you know, it got bigger and bigger and bigger as a kid. And we would go there when I was real little. And then somewhere along the way, the monkeys got angry and started throwing poo at people. Well, as soon as that hit the newspaper, then like, you know, attendance died immediately. And that was like the big stink in a tiny town was like, oh, the Chimp Farm, the monkeys throw poo at you because they're not happy. Yeah.
Big
so,
stink.
So we were down, there, I don't know, like November or something last year, we were down there and, I looked at TripAdvisor and no one was talking about having poo flung at them. And I'm like, well, I haven't been here in a long time. So we're looking for something to do with the kids. And I was like, well, this will be an interesting one. So we went to not have poo flung at us. A lot more volunteers than I remember. And they've really cleaned up the place and the animals have a lot more.
They had to because there's poo all over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Florida, so you get hurricane washes that away, right? You know, it's like pressure washes everything. But yeah, it doesn't smell pleasant, but it's better than it was. And they really seem to be like truly trying to take care of these older animals and whatnot. So that's cool. But then I was we had dinner with my grandpa later that evening. I said, oh yeah, I took the kids to the chimp farm. He said, oh yeah, the monkeys there, they still throw poo at you or they fixed that? So, I mean, it'd been like, you know, 25 years and that was still like the question is like, have they fixed that poo flinging situation?
They fixed it.
It's, anyway, I don't think it's called the chimp farm anymore. I think it's called like the Pinellas County Primate Sanctuary or something.
Yeah, I would think that chimp
farm good rebranding
is probably a little bit speciesist.
I mean, even just beyond that, like the concept of farming, like these animals was like probably a little, you know, words change over time. And I think when I was a kid, like, chimp farm made sense for what it was. But now it's a pretty objectionable idea.
Yeah. Although like at the time when we're kids, like a farm is just a place where animals live. A farm isn't a place where we're actually using animals for the production of food.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's true. I don't know if like, my parents thought the name chimp farm was somewhat on the nose or not, but I, you know, I doubt it. I think it was just a place. And now it's there. And I think it was crazy. Not crazy. I think it was like $50 for the family to go, which, you know, I think it was like 50 cents an animal.
I guess it goes towards a good thing, so that's good.
It's that crazy expensive. There's lots of museums and stuff that we've gone to that are far more than $50 for the entire family.
Yeah, well, I will say it was not worth the $50.
Okay.
Like there were museums that I know of in the area I would have paid more and been a lot more.
So what you're saying is it's expensive for what it is, which is basically
a place
to have no poop flung at you.
I know. You had the privilege of not having poop flung at you.
Look, maybe, yeah. It's a deal. Yeah. Maybe that would have added to the experience if we had to dodge poo. I would have felt like I got my
money. That's what I thought was going to happen in that story. Was like they started throwing poo, attendance went up, people loved it.
I was looking for that part of the story too. Like I was looking for the attendance skyrocketing after the monkeys started flinging poo. But I guess it makes more sense that people would not go.
I mean, yeah.
So you're familiar with like the rails to trails idea, right? Like you take like old railroads and they get turned into hiking or biking trails. Mm-hmm. So the entire length of the county in Ellis County, there was a old railroad track that I don't know. I rode in the train once when I was a kid, and it was like we're going to run it one more time before we shut down this rail. And it was probably, 1985 or something. And it was a crappy train, very crappy train. So anyway, they replaced the railroad with this long trail. I don't know how long the county is. I would guess it's got to be 40 miles north to south. And the trail goes right behind the chimp farm, what was at the time the chimp farm. So fortunately, they were not facing the trail. Someone was getting poo flung at them on the trail. But when you rode by, the monkeys heard people back there and were yelling and screaming. And so that was always a fun part to ride through because it was, like through like swamp flats of Florida. And on the one side, it's like, marshy and stuff. And the other side, there's monkeys hollering at you. It felt like you had traveled somewhere very exotic as opposed to, a quarter mile south of Klosterman Boulevard in Tarpon Springs.
Well, we've reached that time for the listener questions.
Yes.
And we don't have the listener questions. We have host questions. But it's hosts plural now, at least, instead of being just Allison questions. So we'll do one of Allison.
Did we not finish up my questions last time?
We didn't finish up your questions. We only did two.
Did you submit questions?
I haven't.
So
I just ask my questions.
Okay. I was admonished.
The process.
Clearly.
I gave you shit about it, but I don't even do it either. So.
Yeah, when you're the one that reads the questions, you're allowed to talk smack.
It's true. Yes. It's true. Okay. So Allison, December of last decade, asks, if everyone lost the ability to sneeze, how long would it take us to realize it?
Oh, like individually, I feel like I would not notice for a very long time. It wouldn't occur to me like, hey, you remember sneezing? I haven't heard one of those in a while. But like, I think Rhonda would point it out in 2 or 3 days.
It would be like no one sneezing.
It would be one of those things where like, you would totally forget about it, and then you would see some like pop culture reference to sneezing. Like somebody talks about it in a movie or somebody sneezes in a movie. I mean, sneezing in a movie doesn't happen very often either, but like every once in a while there'll be something and be like, wait a second, what just happened?
What was that?
And they'll be like, wait, that was a thing we used to do. What happened to that?
Or like when you get sick and you just didn't sneeze, like you just, I don't know. It's a specific type of sickness though to sneeze, so.
Ugh. I wonder, I wonder if we had the same reaction to like seeing a payphone in a movie. People like putting a coin in, they're like, why are they doing that?
Oh, yeah.
What's that thing that they're putting money into?
Why are they kicking their head forward and making a ch sound really loudly? Spitting everywhere. That's weird.
Yeah, but can you imagine if I don't know if there's any movies with actual phone freaking, but like that, communicating that in a film to like to modern audiences who doesn't know what a phone is, that's not this thing. Like, I mean, my God.
Yeah. You would have to start off with some kind of way to explain how old wired phones worked.
Right.
You know?
And you have, that's all predicated on the sound that it makes when the coin goes into the machine. So So like you'd have to explain that putting money into the machine was like a required part of the process.
I can almost see this. Like it starts off and like that's the opening scene as a coin goes in the machine and some like dude hears the sound and like sort of starts thinking about it and trying to figure out how to, you know, yeah. I'm already bored with this movie, actually. I'm not going to watch it.
Okay. If you could only eat soup, this is a Gary question. If you could only eat soup for a month, what would your strategy be to avoid soup burnout?
I had an agenda in this question, and I will be forthright about that. And my agenda is, I would say that chili is a form of soup, damn it.
Oh. No. I mean, I suppose it depends.
Are stews.
No. I think stews are, I think chili is its own thing.
Yeah.
Because stews are like a chunky soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that the strategy to avoid soup burnout is obviously to have a different soup every night of the month. Or to like cycle through a couple different soups.
Yeah.
What I would do is make like 5 huge batches of soup.
Right.
And then do the thing where you like separate them into like single servings in bags and freeze them. And then you just grab your appropriate soup every day.
I must have been hungry when I wrote this because now I just like, I'm like, well, I'm going to go inside and have a bowl of soup. I think we have tomato.
Also, can you like pair it with things? Because I would pair it with like different breads or like different somethings.
Doesn't that
like
sound
crackers
good?
Crackers or something.
We had, we made soup last night. So I actually have soup waiting for me. And cornbread.
Chris wins again.
I know, right?
We did a grilled cheese and tomato soup. It's like a kind of a standard in our house from time to time. And the kids love it. Rhonda and I love it.
Yeah. I used to like that when I could eat gluten and cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's just tomato soup.
Now it's just like, well, there's tomato soup, but that's kind of disappointing.
Is it though? I think that there's a lot. I think tomato soup is like a great.
There are some tomato soups that can be really, really good, but like I do think that it pairs well with other things, and like not having the other things that it pairs well with is a letdown.
Okay. Yeah, I think the things that I would suggest to pairing it with would all contain gluten, so.
Also, some people don't really believe soup is a meal.
Yeah, that's bullshit. They're wrong.
I'm not naming names, but in my household, some people have said soup is for sick people.
What? Oh, dang. I love soup. Yeah.
In the final 2 minutes, we can address the phrase guilty pleasure is used to describe when someone likes a form of entertainment that is not universally well regarded. What would be a better name for this?
Oh, I have so many thoughts about this. I can't do it in 2 minutes. Just pleasure, just things you like.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Why does it have to be guilty?
I don't believe in feeling guilty for things I like just because the population as a whole seems to not like it.
I would like to use the word alt to alt somehow in there, like prefix it alt, but alt pleasure sounds like a little.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds a little racy.
I mean,
yeah, I guess I should prefix this with like, yeah, with like as long as it's not like harming anyone or like subversive in some way that's like harmful.
Right. Taylor Swift is my guilty pleasure, but like her music. So that's.
But why is it? Is it guilty because you're like not supposed to, or like?
Because he's a boy. Because he's an adult male. He's not supposed to like Taylor Swift. He's a great adult male. He's not.
Like, I think that's all the more reason. I feel like that's her real niche, and no one's talking about it.
I love that. I mean, that's the whole context of guilt, of the idea of a guilty pleasure, is that you don't fit into the box that we have built around this thing.
But I immediately feel like I need to explain why, because it's more than just like I like it, right? And that I think inherently is part of that being a guilty pleasure, that there is like an expectation that I need to justify it, and I can, but I'm not going to.
Because you shouldn't need to.
Well, right, is my point. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all.
Although I like what she's done in music.
That's all cultural context too, because at one point in time, like playing D&D was a guilty pleasure that you would have to be embarrassed. Sure. And now I can walk into a room and say, "Yeah, we had D&D last night," and like everybody's like, "Oh, cool." You know, like it's not totally a thing.
Right.
So like that shifts what is, and it is the way that it shifts is.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.